Good morning. It's good to connect with you all this morning as we're fully in the season of Easter, fully celebrating and experiencing and living out the hope that comes from the resurrection of Christ. Today, as we worship, as we gather and hear the word, we'll be building on the rest of that story that took place, you know, following the resurrection of Christ. We go right into the Gospel of John. In chapter 20, starting at verse 19 through 31. Now, last week on Easter Sunday, we heard a little bit of this passage here, kind of the front part of it, but there's more to this story. And really, as we spend the next several weeks in the season of Easter, you know, examining and growing from the resurrection of Christ, it's important that we look at what happens after the resurrection, you know, with the disciples and with those early followers of Jesus. Their actions, their responses, you know, speak into our lives today and set an example, and also help us to answer and raise questions about the resurrection. But ultimately, all of this draws us deeper into faith and deeper into hope and deeper into our experience with the resurrection of Christ. So I invite you to hear these words, starting at verse 19 of chapter 20 of John's Gospel. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This story of Thomas, you know, having the doubts, you know, following the resurrection of Christ, you know, he was not a part of the group that experienced that first appearance, you know, of Christ there when they had gathered, you know, on the evening of what we would call Easter Sunday. And he had concerns, you know, real doubts. He wasn't a part of that group. He had seen Christ, you know, crucified. He had saw Christ, you know, die. He saw him, and saw that he was buried and in the tomb. I mean, he had every reason to doubt the resurrection. And really, when I think about, you know, Thomas, you know, in his spot, you know, I identify some of my own self even with Thomas, of having those doubts, of being maybe caught in that realism. Now, I wouldn't even say, you know, pessimism or anything like that, but like a realism, you know, being, you know, honest with his experience. But I believe Thomas's story and this experience out of the gospel reading is critical for us today. When I think about all the changes that we have experienced, all the things that we are doing now, we can have these moments of doubt in our life as well. Not only would we have no maybe doubts about our faith in this time, because in this time of stress and anxiety, we can experience doubt with our faith, and that'd be understandable. We might also have doubts of how we're going about our lives. No, asking ourselves, no, are we taking care of our families as we should? Are we doing the right thing? You know, am I teaching the kids as well as I can? And if you have children at home, I mean, all these doubts that can arise in this time of stress and anxiety, I believe is natural. I mean, it's expected. I certainly feel that having those questions doesn't make anyone less of a person or less in their faith or less in their actions. It comes with the stress and the anxiety of this time. And so when I think about Thomas, how he would have gone through all that stress, all that anxiety, seeing all the difficult things that he saw when Christ was on the cross. You know, by all means, I see why he would have doubts, why he would question. But Christ's response here to Thomas is one that I find both that comfort, you know, that care that Christ had for his disciples and for his followers. But I also see that way how Christ would take that moment and making a teachable moment as well. Now, some folks have taken the doubts of Thomas, and it's even in our cultural vocabulary, you know, to be a doubting Thomas, someone who maybe is skeptical, raises a lot of questions. It's a part of our vernacular, our vocabulary, a way we can interact with people. You know, Thomas, in a lot of ways, gets a bad reputation for his questions, for his doubts, that his faith wasn't good enough, you know, to believe that the resurrection took place. But I believe Thomas, in a lot of ways, has the most human responses to the resurrection, one of questioning. One of concern. Because questions and concerns, no issues that we raise, that is natural. It comes about in our lives. Even when we hear good news, things that we're excited about, we may still have questions and doubts. It's a part of our human experience to have doubts, to have questions. But Christ in his response, I believe, is very pastoral. And why I say that is it'd been very easy, considering all that Christ had experienced, all that he had gone through, all that he had taught, all that he had shared with the disciples, it would have been completely reasonable for Jesus to go to Thomas, you know what, you just don't get it, go away. But that's not what Jesus does. Instead, he meets Thomas where he is in his doubts. You know, Thomas expressed that unless I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side, you know, unless I see these things, you know, I will not believe that a resurrection took place. And Christ met Thomas where he was in those doubts and was with him. And showed him the holes, showed him the signs, you know, of his death, of his crucifixion. And as he stood there, Thomas was able to see and believe that resurrection, believe that the resurrection took place. This moment was a moment of Jesus meeting Thomas, of being with him. And yet still was able to make it one of those teachable moments. I mean, Christ responds and recognizes, you know, that the other disciples have had faith, that they were believing, that they bore witness to the resurrection. You know, acknowledges that, and also, I would say, acknowledges us, because, you know, we have not seen Jesus with the holes in his hands or his side. But it recognizes this in the verse 29, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." even though it's a teachable moment and offering that encouragement, you know, saying that those who believe who have not seen are blessed, he still does not negate Thomas's experience. He's still with Thomas, still met him where he was, and also acknowledges the importance of belief, the importance of faith in the resurrection. But when I think more about how Jesus met Thomas where he was in his journey, and I come back to thinking where we are now in our lives, where we've experienced disruption, we've seen, you know, reports, and maybe we've had loved ones who have been affected by the coronavirus disease. We have loved ones who are on the front lines, who are in, putting themselves at risk, even caring for others, or having to make difficult decisions. We see all these things going on. And then coupled within our homes, if we have no kids at home and we're teaching them, if our business has had to move to home, or if we're not able to work, not able to go to work as we had hoped or planned, or we find ourselves even going about our regular routine, if we're, you know, farming and ranching and having to go out and still feed animals, care for animals, you know, go out and plant, you know, our routine hasn't changed. There may be doubts in all of those moments, you know, wondering, am I doing the right thing? You know, are my actions, you know, such that are keeping people safe? Are they prudent actions? And those questions can overwhelm us. They can get to a point where maybe you might even like obsess a little bit over those questions. Or we may find ourselves, you know, incredibly frustrated. We may find ourselves angry when we think about those questions. But I believe when we have those doubts, when we have those questions, regardless of our response, if we're coming from a place of no uncertainty, of anxiety, or a place of anger, I believe our God meets us where we are. There is grace in all of these moments. There is God's presence with us in all of those moments. And we step, you know, further into the bigger questions, you know, of faith in this time. You know, if we have doubts in our faith as we're seeing the news, doubts in our faith as our incomes have become disrupted, all of those concerns, they are real concerns. They're coming from a real place. They're coming from our experience. But Thomas's doubts, Thomas's questions, Thomas's uncertainty all came out of his experience. And yet Christ met Thomas where he was. Christ was there with Thomas. And Christ is with us, meeting us where we are in this time and in our lives. Our God has not forsaken us or abandoned us in this time. Our God is not expecting us to be, you know, 150% in all that we're doing. I believe our God sees us where we are in our struggles, in our difficulty, the challenges of trying to live our lives right now. And our God is with us and is a comforting presence and meets us where we are. So brothers and sisters in Christ, as we go further into the coming days, especially as we're pondering, you know, how to go about our lives, you know, in the weeks and the months to come, we'll have more questions. We may have more doubts. We may have more anxiety. We may have more frustration. But I believe in all of those moments, as we go forward, our God is with us. Our God is caring for us. And our God is not looking for ways to cast us away from Him. Instead, we see in the example of Christ, a God who comes to us where we are, is with us, might teach us a little bit, but yet in that moment is still with us, still caring for us. I believe God's grace is far more abundant than we can imagine, far more abundant in ways we can fathom. And that grace that was with Thomas in that moment is the same grace that is with us. It's the same grace that has been with us, you know, throughout our whole lives leading up to this moment, and it is the same grace that will carry us forward. It's the same love and the same hope that will carry us forward as well. So, brothers and sisters, let us embrace this hope. Let us embrace the care that our God gives to us. And let us remember that our God will always meet us where we are and will care for us now and for all of our days. Amen.